What's up, guys and gals, fellow whiskey sippers? This is Whiskey Biz Podcast, and here are your hosts, Rob and Devo.
I just have like a random question. It's not like a riddle or anything like that for you.
Okay.
When did you learn how to swim?
Well, that's a good question, because did I ever learn how to swim? Have you ever seen me swim? Actually, I think you have.
I was going to say, your parents have a pool. We've gone into your pool.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually seen you like swim from one end to the other. You're just tall enough to be able to reach the pool.
When they redid it, they added like the whatever step to it. So it like extended out the step like 6 feet. So the drop off's really severe now.
Uh-huh.
So if you're not, I think it's like a sun step or what, I don't know what the fuck it's called. But yeah, it's harsher now. Before is like a smoother drop off. And I could go about halfway in the pool without floating or trying to swim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I remember going to swim class when I was a kid.
At what age though?
Like 7, 6. I think my parents were still together. So yeah, like 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I learned at like 4 or 5.
I may have learned. I don't know. I thought it was 6 or 7. I don't fucking know.
But the one reason I ask is because I know someone that like their kids are going to be like 10 soon. And I wasn't sure if that was like an odd age for them to not know how to swim.
I don't know. I think it's all about how comfortable you are, right? I know some people aren't comfortable swimming. Sense. Like they had a traumatic experience or whatnot.
So they're not going to push their kids to do it.
Yeah
I guess.
Or they're going to wait potentially. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a good thing to do because you never know when your kids are going to be at someone's house.
Yeah. And you're not there to watch.
Yeah. And they have a pool or something and maybe, you know, they forget
their floaties or what have you.
Or I still don't think it's a bad thing if a kid can swim to give them floaties.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if they're in the backyard playing and they don't have a fence around the pool, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, which, that was another discussion that that I came across, was California has a law that I think it's a new construction though. Like if you're putting in a pool, there has to be a gate. Yeah. Or a fence. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It makes total sense.
I know as a kid, my parents never had one, but their backyard wasn't really, you've been in their backyard. It's really just pool. So like you didn't play in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we never, my parents never had one, but like the fence would literally be the whole yard. So you just don't go out the back. Like there's your solution. Just don't go out the back, you know, but get it if like you have a bigger yard. Sorry, I'm like breathing heavy because I ate way too much food for dinner and I still feel bloated. I didn't think I ate that much, but I feel like I ate like a fucking Chinese food buffet and it's clogged.
Oh, so just give it like another hour or so, you'll be hungry again.
Bro, it's been like 3 hours since I ate.
Was it Chinese food?
No, it was. Oh. I made a.
That's why I made the joke. I thought it like, was Chinese food.
Like pulled or shredded beef. I made shredded beef and then Spanish rice and
heated like authentic up some Spanish rice beans. Or was it from like a box?
No, I made it from scratch.
Nice.
I mean,
dude.
It doesn't have like the fucking frozen vegetables in it that you get from, you know, Alberto's, but it's orange-ish, you know. I don't know. It tastes good. It works. I don't know. But yeah, so I ate too much, so I'm gonna be breathing heavy this whole episode, and that's why I still can't believe I still feel bloated. It's been a long time. I guess I didn't think I got that much food. Apparently I got way too much fucking food.
No worries, dude. No worries. It just
makes it clogged my veins too. Like, that's how much I ate. I'm putting pressure on, like, every internal organ
MSG
in my body.
Was included or no?
What's that?
MSG, was it included?
Well, I mean, unless, like, salt and like garlic salt, like Lowry's garlic salt has it, then, or Morton's. I don't fucking know which brand it is. It's one of those where they have like,
would be Morton's. Lowry's is the seasoning salt.
I think they also make a garlic salt though.
Oh, do they? Okay.
I believe so. I don't know. It's one of those main brands, whatever. I don't think that has MSG. I don't even know what MSG comes from. Do you like buy a fucking package and it says MSG across the front?
I don't know. I've seen, I think his name's Uncle Roger a couple times on like TikTok, where like he goes through reviewing someone else's like cooking style and everything. And in one of the videos, like the person that was cooking poured a little, it looked like salt, but poured a little bit of MSG in there. And he goes, I'm going to be canceled for doing the accent, but MSG, good.
Yeah, no, I know the video you're talking about. I don't know. I know what you're talking about, but
yeah, I was just,
I don't think I've ever, like, I've never seen a package of it. But fun, someone just told me recently that they found out that MSG is not as bad for you as what they said it was.
I feel like that's the case in a lot of different situations.
It, there's like one person has a negative reaction and they're like, oh, it's not good for you. But like no pre-existing conditions are set out, right? Like, oh, you know, shrimp's bad for you. Oh, wait, they had a shellfish allergy? Oh, maybe that's why there was a problem. Not, I don't fucking know. We eat so much shit, though.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. Look at, I don't know. That's a whole other topic. But welcome back. Bracket number two. We have number four versus number five. If you don't know what the bracket looks like, go on to TikTok.
Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. Whiskey Biz Podcast. Victor's not here with us, so we have to hope that we don't split the votes.
But if we do,
they're both carrying through.
Yeah.
We're going to have three, which is going to be a clusterfuck. If you want to hear us drink too much, I guess that makes sense. So there's that. I really hope, I have a lot more of one of the bottles than I do the other, so it's going to be beneficial if one of them goes through and the other one doesn't, but, you know, we'll make it work. We had this situation with the foolproof bracket and stag, so we made it work. We'll see. Okay, so 1792 Bottled and Bond. Now, this is a store pick. Where the fuck's the store pick from? Oh, it's the Vegas Strong store pick. Well, it's not a store pick. It was like a Vegas area barrel, I guess, or group of barrels. I don't know how the fuck that works. That's only like 200 bottles. I'm sure there's, I don't know. But it's Vegas Strong. It was in Vegas stores. I don't know who got it, who didn't. But, and then Old Granddad.
Bottled and Bond. Not to be confused bonded. With a...
Not Bottled and Bond. Bonded. No, well, bonded, it is Bottled and Bond, but they call it Bonded.
Right.
1792 is Bottled and Bond. Yeah, yellow neck. Not to be confused with rednecks. They're not the same. We're starting with...
Did you say we're not the same?
They're not the same.
Oh, they're not the same. I thought it would have been better if you said we're. All right, 1792 first, right?
Are you saying I'm Asian or a redneck?
You said redneck. I was going off of the redneck part.
You're saying I'm a redneck.
I was saying that you were saying that we both were rednecks, but
oh, well, I mean, we can be.
Yeah,
not in terms of like. I don't think we live a redneck enough lifestyle to be considered a cultural redneck.
But you do.
But if we don't wear sunscreen, then we get rednecks.
Right. That was more of where I was leading to, but at the same time, you do have a slightly lifted Bronco.
It's actually not older lifted. Bronco. I want to lift it. It is not. That's factory.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it's expensive. It's an older. I mean, yeah. No, it's true. You're not wrong. And it's parked in a dirt area of my yard. So that, I guess that bodes well for that argument. But good Lord, I feel like I have to burp, but I can't burp now. So it's clogging my fucking burp, my esophagus or something. I don't know. It smells good. Okay.
But yeah, 1792.
It's been a long time since I've had this.
Has dried fruit on it, on the nose, a little oaky, and a little black peppery.
Intriguing palate. There's a good amount of clove.
I can see that. Especially on the palate.
It's kind of...
Maybe I was confusing the black pepper for clove, or clove for black pepper.
Well, I mean, it can smell different than it tastes, too. It almost has a little bit of like a sweetener sweet feel.
Yes.
Not like, it's weird.
And a little bit of that on the nose too. Like the nose comes off.
I could
off
see that.
Almost like I was getting like cherry hints, and that's why I was saying, I think I said dried fruit, but more of like a cherry notes on the nose. But it almost has like a medicine-y feel.
Medicinal. Yeah. I got that. It's not bad, though. It's good whiskey.
A decent burn. Like, not too overpowering. Not.
There's enough of a burn.
Yeah. It's palpable. Is that the correct term?
I think so. I think I know what you mean. I couldn't tell you what the fuck the word means.
I feel like lately I've been using incorrect words all the time.
Okay.
So if I screw up using an incorrect term, I apologize to our listeners.
You know, I don't thinking about it, like there are times when I'm at home and I really struggle trying to find the word. I don't usually do that at work. I wonder if I like just dumb down my language naturally so I don't do that.
Gotcha.
So I like use three words instead of using the one like more complex word that would sum up the three words.
Depending on who you're talking to, it's like nicer for them. Right?
Like extravagant. That was really good. You know what I mean? Instead of that was extravagant. Even though I feel like really good, extravagant, it's easier to say really good than extravagant.
Yeah, there's a... Is that three syllables?
It's a lot of... It's yeah, and it's like...
No, it's four.
And they feel like forced syllables, too. Like extravagant. Like, you can't say... Like, try and say it fast. Extravagant.
Extravagant.
It just feels wrong. Extravagant. Really good. It's just like really good, just kind of like really flows off the tongue.
See, I think I like the word exquisite more than extravagant.
See, that just makes you sound prissy as fuck.
Yeah, and pompous. But at the same time, it's still more fun to say.
And is prissy even the right word? Like prissy is really kind of like, pompous I think is more correct. Prissy is like you're kind of like this like rich bitch. Not like... Or yeah, maybe poser is a better word.
Yes,
I don't know.
I always liked using that word though. That was poser? A fun word to use. Back
that was in the day. That was definitely a high school word for us.
I feel like maybe I junior also high. Used it. I feel like I used it in elementary school.
Quite possibly. I don't.
But that was because I felt like a poser because I was always wearing like skater clothes. But I rollerbladed or did aggressive inline or whatever, however you want to call it. So like I always felt like a poser, but I would call other people poser and they would call me like, I feel like it was elementary school when I first found that word or found out.
I feel like
word.
You called people posers when you were like, you thought you were a good skater and you weren't, or they thought they were a good skater and they weren't.
Or they
were a really good skater and you wanted to make them feel like shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They were like the two, but one made sense, the other didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, this is pretty good.
It's got kind of like
a nice mouthfeel after the third sip. There's a lot of sips, though, to get to that point. But it's kind of a weird sweet. It's well balanced, though.
It's definitely well balanced. and I think it fits most palates. Even though like it's a little bit more medicinal flavors to me.
Okay.
I think it does still hit more palates. Not necessarily mine, because it like there's the clove that does come through on at least the first sip. Second sip, that's kind of gone away, and the at least the burn is still kind of there.
Yeah, and the bitterness went away. I got a little bit of bitterness on the first sip, probably from the clove, but it dissipated pretty quickly. See, that was the right word. Look at that. Dissipated. Disappeared would have also worked.
Yes.
Disappeared.
But dissipated's a little bit better because you're talking about a palate.
Yeah, and the palate's still there. It didn't disappear. Just right. That flavor did. And then you're talking about a note within your palate and not the whole palate.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And it didn't actually disappear. It's just lesser well known now. I'm confusing the fuck out of myself, though. Let me just tell you that.
I think you need to go burp.
Dude, I need to I literally feel like I should try and fucking stick two fingers down my throat and try and throw up, because this is not going away and it's very unpleasant.
Just have some more whiskey and maybe you'll get to that point.
I don't want to get to that point with it. Dude, my barfs would be rough. Like, I'm going to be,
waking up tomorrow would be fun for you.
Fuck. I'm going to have to take the biggest shit in the morning, though. It's going to be it's going to be the most pleasant one, though, ever.
I was going to say, those are usually the most satisfying.
It's going to hurt a little bit, though. But it's going to be like soft serve coming out to really fuck with you people.
As I'm sniffing the old granddad.
That sounded fucked up. As I'm sniffing the old granddad. Get some musk in there. Actually, I am.
It is a little musk on the nose. Smell it. It has like a...
No, it does. See, this one you get for sure caramel.
I was getting caramel. I was definitely getting kind of...
Or is it butterscotch?
I know you were joking about it. There anise? Is a little butterscotch in anise? There. There is a bit of butterscotch in anise, but... The musk, like it's cologne-y. I was gonna say perfumey. Like there's a like a perfumey scent to it, but at the same time, like I wanted it to come across like no, it's like more of like a man's cologne type of.
No, I got you, but it almost sounded like you were trying to say like an old way of saying colony, cologne. And the speaking fucking picture that, looks like a dude from that era. Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna just taste this because this is gonna. Oh, you had something to say though first.
Since you brought up the fact that I was saying it almost old timey for cologne, I was thinking of the word bologna, but it's like Bologna. So like it's one of those things where. Yeah, I don't know. Just because I said cologne and bologna, they rhyme. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, first sip. Are you ready for this? Fucking black tea and pencil shavings.
The pencil shavings I can kind of understand. Not necessarily the black tea.
Maybe it's like sweet tea.
The pencil shavings I can kind of understand.
It's kind of weird, but you get it. Like, it's not bad. It's not like... nasty like you'd kind of anticipate. But it's like I just drank some whiskey while I was sharpening pencils.
Or like what it kind of reminded me of was when I helped you with some of your woodworking projects.
You helped with a lot.
I helped you. I was gonna say when we did woodworking projects, it was more of like you had an idea, you drew it all up, and then I was just your helper. I was your shop.
You came up with your work or your bar cart.
To an extent. You were the one that was like, well, we can put the screws in this way, and that way it doesn't show. And like all three of those levels have a different way of holding the wood together. It's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's true. there's all sorts of stuff. And to look at some of the stuff we built. Oh, yeah, it is. To look at some of the stuff we built, like, I know a lot more now about woodworking and ways to do things. I look back and I'm like, I'm surprised we pulled that shit off. Like, it came out pretty good.
Yeah,
like, I had no idea about shims before, right?
Uh-huh.
When we were woodworking. And I pulled, I mean, the one wheel was too short, right? We had to level it. So we fucking took a paint stirrer, popped it under there, and it was perfect. And you know what else would have worked? A fucking shim.
That you bought later on so that we can put together mine.
It was yours that we put the paint thing under.
I thought it was...
No, it was yours.
Okay.
It was yours. Mine's wobbly as shit. I needed 2x4s to...
It still looks cool as heck, though.
That was a bitch. Never do a wood-burning project without, like, the torch that attaches to the fucking propane tank. I think it looks cooler because you can be more specified with, like, how torched you want to make it look. But, it's a pain in the ass. This is smoother than the other and a little sweeter.
A more pleasant sweet. The spice definitely comes through too, though. And I'm getting more of the anise coming through than the black pepper than I was initially getting. The oakiness is a little different, like you said, for like the pencil shavings. Kind of.
Which I guess pencil shavings isn't that far off because it is, pencils are made of wood.
Yeah.
If you've used a pencil in your life, does that make you a woodworker?
I think only if you've sharpened a pencil in your life.
Okay, so if you were like one of those prissy people and you had someone else sharpen your pencils, then you were never a woodworker.
Or you could have always had a mechanical pencil. You were one of those cool kids.
True. I mean, everybody's used a regular number two pencil thanks to the SATs.
I don't know about that anymore.
Well, yeah, nowadays. I don't know, though. This whole generation's fucked, so. Hey, unless you have a kid that's in this generation, they're cool, but not like you, Devo. I'm talking to our listeners now. But, like, you know, there's some weird... The kids are weird right now.
Absolutely.
It's generalized, right? Like, not every kid, but there's, like, some... This is one of those generations you're like, what the fuck happened?
It's because of all the things that they have at their fingertips.
Bro, like, just like that.
We all grew up on the same TV shows because that's all that was available.
Yeah, and you had to, like, rent a fucking movie to see the new one. Yeah. Or you had to watch it at the exact time it came out, or fucking tie your VCR to the fucking TV and record the TV through your VCR.
Exactly, and that's why I was saying, like, nowadays, like, you could have kids watching 5-6 different shows than what your kid is watching.
True. You know, I was actually, to go off topic, because we're going to both have to take sips of these, but just to kind of give us a little time with the palate. I was watching a video of a lady, and she had her kid, and she's like, I started watching the shows that I watched as a kid with my kid. They enjoyed the shows as much, but they also had they didn't have as hard of a time falling asleep at night. And when I said TV time was over, they were fine with it ending.
Mm-hmm.
And her theory is that the newer shows are more stimulating. More stimulating, where the shows that we grew up watching, not as stimulating. There's not as much going on. It's simpler. It's still told the same basic stories. Or same premise, morals, yeah. I don't know if shows still show morals. Some of the shows we watch, like Aw, Real Monsters, I don't know what the fuck that was trying to teach me, other than accept everybody, even if they hold eyes in their hand.
That's my favorite monster from there.
Dude, he's hilarious. He's got like, yeah.
Because he puts them in his mouth at times so that he has...
he can, yeah. No, it's fucking hilarious. It was super creative, but that's the only thing that I'm getting out of it is like, accept everybody who for who they are. They have a purpose. Maybe that's what it meant. I don't know.
Same thing with Hey Arnold. Same premise yeah. for Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold actually, like, they kind of went through like real scenarios for school and... But I don't know. Maybe there is some truth to that. I mean, there's so many more pixels now. Yeah. So maybe there is more yeah. simulation. There's more pixels to stimulate me.
We don't want to go down the...
Stimulation?
yeah.
Okay.
Especially with that one... No, there was that one documentary that came out on Max that seems to be all over...
Oh, the Nickelodeon one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like the... That wasn't based around the...
Cartoons. It was
cartoons. It was more around the... Yeah, no, that was pretty fucked up. I watched part of it.
I think I saw the first two episodes yesterday.
Nice.
It was hard to get through. It was over the span of like 7 days that I finished it. I could not.
That's fair.
Sit all the way through all four episodes.
I didn't watch those shows as much as other shows, though.
Like, you didn't watch all that as much?
No, I watched a lot of other shows more than all that.
For sure.
I know I've seen it, but I didn't watch it that often. And the only people that I remembered from all that were the the slightly heavier set redhead, I think she was.
Oh, Quiet in the Library.
Yes. And Keenan and Kel. I didn't remember anybody else from the show.
Yeah, the new, I'm going to put air quotes around that, the newer seasons were not as good. I thought mm-hmm. the OGs were definitely like the better casted kids.
Yeah. Now, I think
Keenan and Kel were like third season or something like that, so.
Yes.
I don't know if they were OG.
That's fair.
I don't remember.
Now, that guy does not surprise me that he was in Two Children. Like, he looks like he lived in someone's basement and got caught by, like, the Colorado Pedophile Patrol or whatever those guys are called.
Yeah, you're right.
He looks like one of the dudes that would have popped up.
Absolutely.
That sounded wrong. Okay, so back to the whiskey. Let's go there.
Are we going back to...
however you want to do it, we're going to start doing our, like, what we think, right? I don't know. I think I had another sip, though. Just not paying attention.
I don't know if I should cleanse my palate between the two. I think the last time we didn't do the cleanse at this stage, I think.
I think we did it between, but I don't have a water. I have a Coke Zero. 1792 is pretty good, but there's kind of like a, like you said, it's kind of a weird sweetness or like combination of flavors. Like, I'd still probably give it like a 4. I think we've reviewed this before, but I could be wrong. I think we did have an episode.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
We had it on, it was a long time ago, when we had one really tall.
Just one or two?
At the time, I think it was just the 6'6 guy, Chris. If you guys have been here long enough,
I think
you would remember Chris.
Chris came after Charles and left before Charles.
But I'm pretty sure it was Chris that was on the episode. Charles wasn't able to make it.
Oh, could be. By the way, on the nose on Old Granddad, I'm getting like brown sugar now with some peach.
See, what was nice, I think this is actually a really good mash or head-to-head type for this.
It's pretty even.
Yeah. The main difference is Old Granddad's coming across more spicy. Whereas 1792, for me, I can't get out of the medicinal flavoring.
Maybe a little spicier. I don't think it's that much spice. I think they're both pretty well balanced. But, I mean, one has to be spicier. So, I guess I could see it.
Well, and there's more oak also coming through on Old Granddad.
I could see that.
Now you're going to make me have to pretty much chug it like Charles for...
I think I'm going to have to go to a swish here.
1792 on the nose is a lot more pleasant.
Smells more like bourbon.
Yeah.
You know the problem with a swish when you're comparing to? It takes a while to get rid of the swish flavors. 1792, less than stellar swish. There's like a lot of that clove tobacco feel. Like it kind of hits hard with like a little black pepper, some anise, some artificial sweetener.
That's what I know we've talked about viscous or viscosity in the past.
Yes.
There's a decent amount of, and don't get me wrong, like it does taste good, but
yes,
it's almost just a little bit too much because it brings me back to the medicinal.
Yeah. I could agree with that.
Whereas Old Granddad, now I'll do the swish on that one.
Yeah, and you know what's tough? When you're going side by side, like you kind of pick them apart side by side, but if you had it by itself, you'd think it was pretty good.
Yeah, both of them for sure.
Yeah, they're both over a 4. I think they're both absolutely worth buying.
Now, Old Granddad is a little bit cheaper than 1792, right?
Yeah, I want to say 1792 bottled in bond is going to run about $40 if you can find it. It's not the easiest bottle to find. Old Granddad, you should be able to find for $30 to $35. Let me look up 1792.
So for Old Granddad doing the swish and everything.
Yeah, $40.
Okay. Spice forward ends with more of a brown sugar caramel flavoring. Sits a little bit nicer and has like that nice, like, but then again, that this is off of what my normal palate like runs to, so to speak. It like the oakiness, the overall flavoring, the overall flavor of the whiskey is a little bit more pleasant for me.
That's fair. I think, I mean,
like, I think it's more traditional bourbon than 1792 is, but like you said, 1792 has a more traditional nose.
Yes. I think even the palate's more traditional. I think the flavors are just a little better in Old Granddad. I think the clove is a little too heavy and it's coming in a little bitter. And then you also have the, I don't know how it's coming across as like artificial sweetener, but the sweetness on Old Granddad's a little better. I think Old Granddad has a better balance, even though I would say 1792 is pretty well balanced.
And that's why I was saying in the beginning that like I could see a lot of people enjoying 1792.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would enjoy both. Exactly. I mean, it kind of goes back to where we've talked about bottled and bond. Like, they're generally very good.
Yeah.
Now you can argue that they're less consistent though, because they have to come from the same season.
Season, yeah. And depending on how that season actually went,
single Rick House. Like, yeah, it could be a good. Now I think you're gonna get pretty consistent. I mean, yeah, seasons are gonna be different, but I don't know. I think They're both very good. They both have a similar color, too. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I can see that now.
I think, surprisingly, 1792 bottled in bond might be slightly darker.
Okay. I'm going to lock in at Old Granddad being my pick. And that's mostly because it accommodates
your palate more.
My palate more.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same, not because we don't want to carry both through or because I have more Old Granddad, but because I think Old Granddad's a bourbon that the Bonded is a bourbon that I've brought to parties. It's a bourbon that I have gifted. It's a good whiskey. I think it's actually a little smoother than 1792 bottled in bond. I think the flavors, this is going to sound weird, they're a little more like nothing stands out. It just kind of flows. Not saying it's a short finish. It just sits there nicely for a very long period of time. Not a very long. It's like a medium to long finish. 1792 is also a medium to long, but I think it kind of it hits a little harder on your palate. Not necessarily in the best way, though.
Right.
There's more flavor in 1792, but I think the flavor's not as good as Old Granddad.
That's fair.
So that means that Old Granddad will be moving on and battling against 1897.
That's going to probably be a pretty good matchup too, though.
That will. I am intrigued.
Because we both have a decent amount of spice on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I cut wish you off.
No, I was going to say we should have thrown in like a... The fuck? My phone just had a... That was weird. It had like... I think it was on its side and the notification like took up the full screen.
Interesting.
It was weird. I'm kind of feeling like I wish I had another bottle of E.H. Taylor single barrel because that would have been a good like... good one to throw in there to see like, okay, you have a bunch that are under $50. Can a $80 to $100 bottle, is it that much better? You know what I mean? Like to throw that it one's into hard the to mix. Find, though. It is. It's very hard to find.
I had that one for a while and finally finished that off. And
I have a little bit left, but not enough for a bracket because I know it's going to move forward. I don't think that one's going to get upset in the early rounds. Bottle. It was.
That was a very good bottle.
I actually just had Old Fitz bottled in bond. And you know what I'm figuring out with the higher end, harder to find whiskeys, especially like your Old Fitch, your Pappies, they don't do anything great other than they are like the perfect bourbon, perfect example of bourbon. Like nothing stands out. It's just you sip on it and you don't even think. You're just like, that's good.
Yeah, that is a good...
But what
I can't even think of the word that I wanted to say.
It's a good feeling, good way to think about it, or like good way to explain the bottles.
Not even a benchmark, what?
Well, I mean, it is a benchmark, right? Like it's what you expect. Like E.H. Taylor single barrel, it's what you expect out of bourbon. And it's really weird because you're not like blown away, but it's just you just don't think about it, and then it makes me wonder like, you okay?
I dropped the cap.
Oh, and then it makes you think like, is it worth borderline 8 to 10 times what I paid for these other bottles?
And that's why I did bring up the price, but it was mostly on. I was thinking that Old Granddad was a lot cheaper than 1792, but they're actually pretty close in terms of price. Yeah. The one that's going to be interesting is Evan Williams Bonded.
That will be. I don't think it's going to... I think it's good by itself. Like it's not bad. It's just I don't think it's going to hold up against a... Like I think it would lose at early veterans. Times. Yeah. I don't know. It will be interesting. Because
I felt like early times held its own.
It did. And that's what I'm. Evan Williams in the next bracket is going up against E.H. Taylor, small batch. So that'll be an interesting one. Because really, I think E.H. Taylor gets a lot of hype, just like most of the Buffalo Trace products.
Well, and I was actually going to ask you, Blanton's, is it just single barrel or is it also...
Is it also what?
Bonded or bottled and bond.
No. It's just straight, I don't think they have a bottled and bond. They may have had one, but I am not aware of one. I mean, they have different versions. Like you have straight from the barrel, gold. There are a bunch of different ones, but you just, a lot of them are very hard to find and some aren't even sold in the U.S.
Which is like weird because bourbon is a...
yeah, they have some weird international bourbons that you can't find here. Like, for example, Evan Williams 12-year? I think it's the 12-year or 15? Maybe it's the 15. It's either available in Kentucky or in like Japan. It's like the weirdest fucking thing.
So sometimes when you go to order it online, it'll be like, oh, it'll be 20 something days. What?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can buy alcohol from Japan unless you're in Japan and you bring it back.
I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some weird stuff out there that you're like, oh, you can get that there, but you can't get it here. That doesn't make sense, right? Like, you'd think we'd be able to get every type of bourbon. But on the flip side, like tequila, it's 70 proof in Mexico and it's 80 proof here, a minimum.
Oh, I thought it was... Is it lower in Mexico? I thought it was higher in Mexico.
That's why a lot of people drink tequila down in Mexico and they're like, damn, this is really smooth. And then they bring it home and then they realize it's 70 proof.
Mm. For something that's 70 proof, I'm surprised that so many people get like fucked up on it.
I think you just drink that much.
As quick as they do.
Well, I mean, if you took it three shots within an hour, or if you took three shots an hour and you're somewhere for 3 hours, and likely if you're taking shots, you're not drinking water in between.
That's true.
I think it's just it's that mindset. You're just chugging alcohol all night. Or you're having like shot, then margarita, then shot, then beer, then shot, then, you know, you're just getting fucked up.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. And I was saying all that and then thinking about it, like, I don't do well with vodka. I could have probably like two shots of vodka, somewhat depending on which one, and not remember the rest of the night. Of course, I also don't remember if I had any more to drink, but...
Well, the one thing you know is you didn't have less.
True. True.
You could not have had less than you remembered.
I think I've told this story because I'm pretty sure the night that when Chris told me to go to sleep or lay down, I'm pretty sure that night I had made Ariana a mixed drink with vodka, but it was too strong.
And so you had to drink it?
I drank it, made her a new drink. Sipped it to make sure that it wasn't too strong.
Interesting.
But I'm pretty sure that night was a vodka fill night, and I just remember the lay down and laying perfectly in between my bed and desk and not hitting my head.
Actually, it was your bed in the wall.
I thought it was the bed in the desk.
No, it was on the hallway side.
Hallway side would have been a dresser.
There wasn't. It was before you. You didn't. Did you move the dresser? No, I guess it was in between the dresser and that. Yeah.
Still, it's not like.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Anyways.
I'm going to try blending the two.
I was going to, and then I was like, nah, I kind of want to leave Old Granddad as my little sipper that I have. But you've been on a few cruises. One, you've had at least a drink thing, right? Or a
drink package? Drink
package.
Worst decision ever, but great too.
Because you were drunk all the time, or
just dude, yeah, you felt like you had to because you're paying like $80 a day.
Which, when you think about it, like, and when you break it down, even if it was on the cheaper side where you're getting $10 drinks, that's 8 drinks throughout the day.
Yes, it's a lot of alcohol. It's a lot of alcohol. I can't tell you how many times, and like, I drink wine at dinner. I don't drink wine, but it was like, fuck it, I can drink wine. Like, I don't have to pay for it. And that cool probably bracelet, pairs better right? with the steak than what's that?
You had a cool bracelet, right? Oh, yeah. The wine would.
Oh, was it a bracelet? No, it was like something on your card, on your key card for your room. And you showed it, I think. Or you gave them your key card and they scanned it and it showed up on your account. But yeah, the drink package is. I'm actually going on a cruise. I will be probably on the cruise for you that listen to this the first week. So we are contemplating, right? Like, do we do it or do we not? And my now wife, it's weird. I think I was on a work call and I said fiance. And I didn't even think of it. Wife. Yeah. So she's not a big drinker. Like, she'll drink, but she's not going to drink $80 because now it's like $80. A day, and you can't. Everyone in your stateroom, if one of you gets a drink package, everyone has to get that, at least that drink package.
And I feel like my parents, when we went on a cruise, they got us the soda package.
Yes,
but my parents were at the time more into soda than they were drinking any alcohol. So
yeah, we ended up getting the basic package, so you can like, it's like 30, I mean, it's not cheap, it's $27 a day, but one of the kickers for us is they have like a smoothie and juice bar there where if you have that package you can get it for free as well.
Okay,
that's so like bad. In the morning you go get a smoothie instead of go to the buffet and eat way more shit than you need to, especially when you're gonna be walking around to town all morning. Yeah, so but
which
I think having that's nice. It's a celebrity. So it's like it's like the more adult friendly version of Royal Caribbean. So there's not as many like activities going on.
Is it owned by Princess?
No, it's owned by Royal Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's, but yeah, $80. And then two, here's the thing that kills me when I go out. I think if you've listened to this for any amount of time, we've done close to like 190 episodes now.
There's been a lot of episodes.
Crazy to think. Patreon episodes, which if you do want to get access to all of our Patreon episodes, you can join our Patreon account at any tier. You get access to all the episodes. $5 and over, we do a bi-monthly meetup. We just have a call and we just shoot the shit. Sometimes there are themes, sometimes there aren't.
Sometimes just depends. But every time we're having whiskey together.
Yeah. You know, and that's the way to do it. Sometimes the themes are anti-Rob themes like Jack Daniels, Buffalo Trace, things like that, which are a blast because I don't drink those things. But everybody else does. No, I actually do drink them, but the Jack Daniels one, I didn't drink regular Jack. But so we've had a lot of whiskey. Oh, go ahead, Diva.
I was just going to say one of our patrons has a nice bar set up. So every time that we do the meetup, I tend to look at his screen more often just because then I'm feeling like I'm in a bar with buddies.
No, completely. I agree.
So go on. Sorry. Royal Caribbean.
So I have a shit ton of whiskey and I have a lot of good whiskey. And I looked at their like better drink package and the whiskeys available are like not that great. Like they're fine. They're fine whiskeys, but not whiskeys that I'm like, ooh, yeah, I want to try that. Because to be honest,
Woodford Reserve on there.
Probably. I know they have Blaine. So, oh.
I feel like Woodford Reserve is everywhere now.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of regular Woodford, but that's it's not bad. So I was looking at like their pricing and like Buffalo Trace is like a $20 pour. Blanton's is $25. What the fuck? Like what? So I'm like, at that price, I'm drinking beer. I'm going to have like freaking yeah. 650 Coors Lights all weekend.
Well, and okay.
Or all week. Yeah. Not weekend. But
where are you guys? You don't have to actually disclose that.
Actually. We're going to the Bahamas. So, I mean, Bahamas. You could track down what cruise ship we're going to be on. Just
Well, no. I was more so thinking of like, okay, like, are they going to have more of like the Modelo or. Or Dos Equis or something like that. But if you're going to the Bahamas, then it's going to be probably more American.
Generally, their bars are very consistent from the country they leave out of.
Okay.
So, like, it doesn't matter if you're going to Mexico, Alaska, like, Bahamas. That's why you said Coors Light. Yeah, they, I mean, it's shit beer, but, you know, it's one of those shit beers that you grow up on, and it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
That's what I use it for anymore. Like, if I have it laying around or whatever, or if I'm, like, getting stuff for a party, I'm going to get it, and I know I'm going to have leftover.
Yeah.
So then it's just more of like, oh, I need carbonation.
Now so I would get that. Yes, I agree.
It's not going to do anything to me. It's just strictly like for the bubbles.
It's better than drinking water. It's not as bad as drinking soda.
I don't like sparkling water. So yeah. Like that would be, that's my alternative.
Yeah, so on the cruise, you can get you can bring on one bottle of wine or sparkling wine with you per passenger.
And is that per docking?
No. And if you like buy it, like if I bought alcohol on shore, they'll store it and deliver it to me the day that we leave.
That's interesting.
Yes, yeah, so you can't drink it on the boat.
I guess that makes sense.
It does. But so
are you going, do they do like a TSA type thing where they go through your luggage?
They can.
Going,
yeah.
Oh, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was going to say like, cause we all know that you have those, bag, flasks.
Oh yeah.
Are you thinking of smuggling or no?
So if you're going to smuggle, the best way to smuggle is to find a porter. So generally you can like walk through with your bags and you push it through like you're going through an airport, right? If you're going to smuggle, find a porter and be like, hey, I have alcohol. Be honest with him and say, if we give you $20 a bag, will you get it through for us? It might be 30 now, you know, that inflation. And generally they will. They're a guy, they'll pay off someone at the, and they'll get you through. Now I'm like, is it worth it for us? We aren't going to drink that much. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to buy a bottle of wine. I'm going to attempt to drink it. I got a glass in and I was like, I can't drink any more of this. So I poured it out. And you can buy the like foil plastic toppers that are heat shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they come with corks. So I'm going to take a bottle, pour it into the wine bottle, put the cork on, and seal the top. Now, the important thing is to get a cork that you can remove. Because if you bring on a, like, they may charge you for a cork remover, right? It's hard. I don't think the average person has the tools to install a regular cork on into a wine bottle.
Right, right.
And if they remove the foil and you have a cork that has been opened already, they're going to just throw it away.
Yeah,
they're just going to throw it away. Your bottle. So I'm going to attempt this. We will reconvene in 3 weeks.
The question is which bottle are you pouring in there?
So that's the other tricky part, right? Because I don't want to pour in too hard to find of a bottle, because I could lose it.
You know what? Wine, did you already pick out the wine bottle?
Yeah, I had to pick one that was black. It was a black color because the toppers that I got were black. And it's a slightly darker bottle, so I didn't want it to not look dark-ish.
Okay, because I was going to suggest either like the green tinted or the brownish black bottles.
This one's like the brownish black.
Okay.
So, but you can still see through it, right? So we're going to see. I don't know what whiskey I'm going to put in there. I have a bottle of like 106 proof Pinhook that I got from Costco, and it's like a liter bottle. I may use that. Is that
the green label?
No, it's actually an orange top.
Orange top.
Almost like a salmon. I got it at Costco for like $30. And I'm like, yeah.
I think I remember that one. I'm pretty sure we reviewed.
We didn't review that one. We reviewed the like lime green one.
Oh, okay. That's kind of exciting though.
But I'm interested if it works, right?
It'll probably work, dude.
You'll see. I think it will, but I have to do a good job, right? Like, it can't be like a bullshit job. Like, it has to look legit.
Did you buy multiple of that shrink wrap or whatever?
I think it was like a 20 pack.
Okay.
There was one, it was like a 200 pack, and it was basically the same price as what I paid, but it came with like regular cork toppers. So I was like, okay, that's helpful, right? Like, I can't just stick that same old cork in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know.
Are you nervous for flooding, since there's been like two or three cruise lines that have flooded?
Yeah, well,
I think it's been within a year.
There have been a lot of weird things. Like, there was the one that caught on fire where chute was blowing out fire. There's been a lot of weird shit on boats. But no, I'm not.
In the Bahamas.
And then there was the one that crashed in Jamaica, right? It was up against the swells were too heavy, and it kept bouncing the boat into the dock.
Uh-huh.
See, there's been a lot of shit.
And the Bahamas aren't known for pirates, right?
Dude, any waterway could be pirates. I mean, let's go back in history, right? Like, the Bahamas, that's why they had the fucking forts, to keep the pirates away.
That's true.
So it's not, I mean, I'm not going to say there aren't, but I think of all the trips, I think the furthest, like most of these islands, it goes to Key West, so that's still Florida.
America, yeah.
Yeah. We're not far from the mainland, right? You're just going to be cruising along Florida from, we go out of Miami. And then Bimini and Nassau.
Oh, because I was gonna bring that one up. I was like, you know, that's kind of made it to my bucket list, is to make it to Nassau.
Nassau. So January like 20th, we were looking stuff up. They're like, oh, the Bahamas have already had 18 murders.
Shit.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's dangerous anywhere.
Anywhere you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Fiji even has like,
oh, I'm sure. It's
negative.
When you pay a lot of money for a resort, you are not just paying a lot of money because it's a nicer hotel. You're paying a lot of money because they have private security.
Yeah, the protection.
Which means that they basically have their own military. Or probably the smarter move is they have the fucking cartel in their wallet.
Which,
I mean, it's not a, I'm just saying, like, if you're paying the cartel not to fuck with you, then they probably aren't going to fuck with you. But talking about Nassau, you have the, in Nassau, there's that Atlantis. Have you seen that? Atlantis resort.
I didn't know that it was there. I thought Atlantis was in a, on a different island.
No, it's on Nassau. It's fucking huge.
That's the one that has the cool slide that goes down like the temple or whatever.
Yeah, they have like, they have a huge water park. They have, you know, it's a fucking, I think it's on like 140 acres.
That's crazy.
It's huge. It is absolutely gigantic.
Essentially, Nassau hasn't changed. Like, it was a money grab or money hub type deal back in the day, and it's still
for sure
flourishing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because I want to see like the forts and the old like government building and stuff like that. Oh, fucking Black Sails.
Yeah, after that, that's why like it made to my like bucket list. Like, I would like to go there because of. And recently, I can't remember what it was that I was looking it up, but I had searched Nassau, and I was like, oh, it's not that far away.
No, it's not bad. And I think you can get, I don't think you can get direct flights. I think you have like a puddle jumper.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, you'll generally fly to like Miami, and then you have a puddle jumper over or whatever. Or you fly to like, I don't know, maybe even Texas flies in. I don't know. From the West Coast, at least. But yeah, it's not that bad. I think it's a 6-hour total flight.
Oh, from Miami?
No, from here to Nassau. I think it's only like 6 hours total.
Oh yeah, flight time. That would make sense because like, if even going to Florida, it's about it's a, like 5-hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it'll be a fun experience, and I'll tell you if you should go or not.
Just make sure you keep your passport close, dude.
I know. No
don't
shit.
Don't need you winding dude, I had up to get in a passport. Some random jail.
I lost my passport.
Shit.
I had it the last trip that I went out of the country, and that was like 8 years ago. And since then, I was like, Mexico, oh, it's got to be in my parents. I was to Alaska, and we went into Canada. So you had to have your passport.
Yeah, my Alaskan cruise, I don't think we touched Canada. Because we had Vancouver. To make an emergent.
Oh, shit.
Like there was an emergency, and we had to turn back. And the trip was like, I was a kid. I was 13, I think. So like, it didn't matter to me. I was just having fun being on the being on the ship, and then going into town and watching the lumberjacks do their thing on like those cool. Like where they cut the slit in the poles and then climb
totem
up
poles
and
those
using the planks and everything like I thought that was cool, but yeah, I don't think I had a passport then, so I don't think our trip initially was going to be going through Vancouver or anything. So
I think there are different rules if you're a kid.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think at least back then.
Uh-huh. Well, rules weren't as strict.
Yes.
9/11 did happen, but it wasn't like...
I don't think it was as bad yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Technically, if you're leaving from a port in the U.S., you don't have to have a passport. It's convenient.
Especially if you're on a boat, right?
If you come from the other side. Yeah. The only thing is, if you don't have a passport, you have to have your birth certificate to get back on the boat. So that means you have to travel with your birth certificate.
Or social security or just birth certificate?
No, just birth certificate's fine. I don't know how it's... Because literally, if there's like a forgeable document, that would be the one. Right? Like, it's not that complex.
Right. Right. I just came across that today for tax purposes. I was like, oh, I need to find Noah's. And I came across our, because I didn't know his social. I should probably memorize that, but his social security. But
yeah, it's probably not a bad thing to memorize.
Yeah.
But back to the floods. That's a great example of what you get from going on a cheap cruise. Like, let's talk about this. Would you go?
Sorry, go ahead.
If you're going to go on like a harbor cruise, right? Are you going to pick like the cheapest option?
Harbor to harbor, like.
Like you're going out of Long Beach or the Port of LA. Like,
I'm not picking. I'm probably picking cheap. Yeah.
You're going to pick cheap? See, I wouldn't want to pick the cheapest because you don't want to be on a dog shit boat.
But I'm not going to be that far away from...
Carnival's from basically land. Like flying on Spirit. You know your life's a little more in danger.
They have so many cool stuff, though, now.
Spirit? Like,
when I went on Carnival... No, I was thinking Carnival. When I went on Carnival, they didn't have all those cool slides and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some of the ships do. Carnival's like Spirit, though. They get older boats, right? Like, they don't generally have the new, latest, and greatest. You're going to see that on, like, Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean probably has the most, like, intense ships.
I think I had the most fun on Royal Caribbean.
Royal Caribbean, I think, if you're going to pick a cruise line, I think for a family with kids, Royal Caribbean's the best bet because it caters to all age groups well. Right, like you have good entertainment for adults, you have nice lounges, bars, things like that for adults. All of them have casinos, but
price isn't horrible. Because like if you have kids and you're wanting to go on a Disney cruise, it's insane.
Oh, I'm sure. I haven't ever looked at Disney, but I would. We've had really good luck with Royal Caribbean. They have more amenities, but if you don't have kids and you don't want a lot of kids around, you have like Celebrity, Princess, Norwegian. Those cater more like adult meaning. And it's not that like.
I liked Norwegian too, though. And I was a kid.
I'm sure it still caters to kids. But I think like Royal Caribbean was probably the best well rounded cruise line. Wasn't the best food. They didn't have all the like food options that some of like the higher end cruise lines did. But it was just you get good food, to be honest. The one nice thing you remember on your cruises, you had like formal night, and you have like business casual night and stuff like
yep.
that.
Yep.
So the nice thing about this cruise line, because it goes to the Bahamas, you have like tropical formal night.
Oh, so like you can cruise with like,
well,
nice,
no,
like,
you're supposed to wear like shirt? Jeans or slacks, but you can wear like a short sleeve button up on the fancy night. You don't have to get you don't have to be in like borderline a tux.
So, going back to Royal Caribbean, one of the things that I do remember is that most of the people on the boat knew who myself and my sister were because there was like a dance night. And we, in olden lingo, we were cutting the rug. But like everyone knew us. But the other aspect, going back to like the formal night, our waiter, like my sister was really into ketchup at the time. And our waiter was like, oh, because she was having a hard time getting the ketchup out or whatever. And he goes, oh, there's a button on the ketchup bottle. And it was Heinz 57 or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, press this button. And it was the 57 part of the neck.
Yep.
And like he tapped it a little bit and it just like, for some reason that, part like sticks out so much for me. And I don't even think my sister remembers it.
I don't remember who taught me the Heinz 57. It may have been on a cruise as well. Taught me the 57. You tap the 57 and the ketchup comes flowing out. I don't know how that works or why it works, but it fucking works.
It works. It works. It's and it's crazy. Only on a glass bottle, but
yes.
It does work.
Yes. Just fun little, not really a fun fact, But you know, most of the cruise lines are not based out of the U.S. Pretty much none of them are.
It would make more sense that it wasn't.
Because then they don't have to follow U.S. labor laws. Because if it was a U.S. cruise line, they'd have to follow federal U.S. labor
especially
laws.
Especially for breaks and things, yeah.
Well, breaks and also minimum wage. I think, if I'm not mistaken, most of the people that work on these cruise lines make less than $5 an hour.
That's insane.
So pretty much all the money they're making is off of the tips that you give on a daily basis. Our cruise line, you pay like $18 a person per day for tips.
But their food and board is all paid for too.
It is.
So I mean, like that.
It is.
That aspect isn't too bad, but at the same time, like, they have to go deep in the ship to get to their.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're quad that they're bunking. Living. Like, they don't have their own room.
That part's gotta definitely stink. Like,
look up if you've never been on a cruise or you've never looked up a cruise, look up online and see how many people can, how many passengers it can have and how many crew it can have. Almost, it's a very close to 1-to-1 ratio between crew and passengers. It's really crazy. So but back to your point, all their expenses are paid for. And I've gotten to know a few people on cruise lines, and we've talked to them and stuff, and they come from all over the world. The sad thing is they don't see their family for like 9 months.
Yeah.
But all of their money that they earn goes straight to their family. So it helps their family in that way, right? Like, that they're able to provide. But it is sad. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's not much different than the shit that we buy from Amazon, though. That was made in a country where labor laws are pretty fucked up and people are working poverty wages.
Yeah.
Not to be a downer, but.
No. But it is a reality. So it's like.
It really is.
I don't know. I have a different appreciation. Like, if we were to go on a cruise, I would definitely. And I think it's because also I've been on multiple cruises and understand the type of dedication that they've had to put in. So,
oh,
like,
for sure.
Like, tipping for me, like, that's no question. Like, I'll definitely give a little bit more.
Well, I'm glad the cruise line we are going on charges you a daily, like a required tipping fee. Okay. Usually for like drinks and stuff. And if you go to like their specialty food places that you have to pay for, which I'm just going to throw this out there. If you ever go on a cruise, the first time you go on one, just eat in the dining room and don't go to the specialty places because the food's pretty fucking good. And you don't have to pay for it. You go to the specialty place, it's $60 a person plus 20% gratuity. Which, for like fancy meals, isn't bad. But just try out the fucking dining room because it's really good food.
And it's good atmosphere.
Yeah.
There's usually some type of entertainment that's going on too.
Yeah, they'll do all sorts of fun stuff.
At least on the Royal Caribbean, I remember there being like a skit or something like that within dinner time.
Yeah, and then like the last night, they have like everybody goes out and like their like home, like their cultural attire, and it's just kind of a cool thing to see, and they're very proud of where they come from, which is a whole other thing when you start talking about the U.S., right? Like, we're shamed for being proud of being Americans.
By Americans, though.
Like, by Americans.
We're ashamed, yeah. We're ashamed of being proud to be American by Americans. But when other people celebrate their heritage, we're supposed to, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all.
I've never heard someone bitch about an Irish person being proud of being from Ireland. And I'm going to wager, I haven't looked this up, but I'm going to guess that Ireland is like 80% white.
Yes. I think there is a term Black Irish, but I think that's anyone that is not red-haired.
Oh, I could see that. That's potentially a racist comment, but
I know it's an older term.
Oh, I got you.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's what it is.
Interesting. Good to know. So
technically, I'm Black Irish.
Yeah. Well, you are. You do have like black hair. Close to it.
It's dark, a dark brown.
Yeah. I think it's also depending. Like right now, you look like you're
leaving me.
Oh yeah, I'm with you there.
So I got a haircut today.
I like it. It looks sharp.
Thanks.
Looks like the scissors were sharp too.
They definitely were.
Yeah. But yeah, if you've never been on a cruise, it's worth going on one. I wasn't trying to like scare you away. Like, oh, they don't pay anyone any money. These people are very happy to have the jobs they do.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
they make your experience pretty good.
They do.
Like, pretty great.
They're very good. Now, don't go on the cruise line and go to the comedian and be like, wow, that guy sucked. They do suck. Because if they were good. That's
why they're on a cruise line.
Yes. Now, I have seen some like good shows. The best show that I think I saw was a juggler. He was pretty impressive. Otherwise, you're not getting like, don't think like, oh, it's going to be like a show in Vegas. No, it's not going to be like a show in Vegas. It's in the middle of the fucking sea, and these people make less than the people in Vegas make. So what do you think that you're going to fucking get? You're not going to get Vegas.
No.
And you'd also pay $100 for that fucking show in Vegas. It's included in your cruise that it costs about $100 a day.
And I can't really speak on that because I haven't been on a cruise since I think it was my Alaskan cruise. So like 13, since I was 13. But I don't know. You see a whole bunch of shows that Starlight, you know, cruise people. Who work on them, and they're not on Broadway.
No, I mean, they're very talented individuals, but they aren't like, when you think of like, I just think of Vegas shows.
They're not
going to
get
right?
a Tony because, Award.
No, and they're not quite to Vegas. They're still very good and it's entertaining, but don't go in thinking like, this is going to be a show that gets an award. It's just,
right.
You know, it's entertainment.
Although
it's better Adam than you Sandler, sitting and reading a fucking book.
And you might find a gem because Adam Sandler did his one.
Jesus Christ, that movie. That was fucking terrible. That was terrible. There was nothing good about that movie.
I just think it's hilarious that they're bringing back Happy Gilmore and putting in a 2 at the end of it.
They're having a Happy Gilmore 2?
Yeah, they're doing a sequel.
No shit. Is it going to be Drew Carey instead of Bob Barker?
No, I don't think it's going to go that in depth. I don't think
bringing like Bob Barker's kid and they're going to like do like the whole Paul Walker thing.
It is so from what I have seen, it is mostly that type of thing where it's like Tiger Woods is going to this is like fan theory or whatever, but like someone like Tiger Woods would be was his name Chubbs?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, Chubbs.
His son. So it would be like Tiger Woods would be his son and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I think I'll still watch it.
You kind of have to see it.
I have a feeling it's going to be a straight to stream.
I'm sure it's going to go on Netflix probably.
Yeah, he has a contract with them still.
Yeah,
right?
He does. I have very low hopes for this movie because really Happy Gilmore was good because it was so like there was really not any good acting.
I mean, you had the Mad TV guys in the beginning that originally had him, hit the ball. If you think you could hit further than me, that whole scene.
Yeah.
They had Ben Stiller was in it for a very short period of time, but he was the nurse that was taking care of grandma. But I don't think I ever saw Shooter McGavin in anything outside of Happy Gilmore.
No, but yeah, that'll be, I mean, it's kind of like a must see, but it's probably going to be disappointing. You're just not, it's not going to be as good as the original. You're going to be disappointed, but
as is all,
it's like going to a fucking cruise show.
Exactly.
You go in with the expectations that it's not as good as a Vegas show.
That's why I brought it up.
I love it. You're so right, Devo. But because I am gone, we get to record tomorrow night. We have a special guest so that we don't have a draw. Even though I think the two that we're doing, I don't think there's going to be a draw. But you know what? If there was, that would be crazy because you're looking at a very hard to find bottle or a fairly hard to find bottle versus one that is easily accessible on the shelf pretty much everywhere. So E.H. Taylor versus Evan Williams. This is an intriguing one. Could you imagine if we got an upset? I would lose my mind.
I kind of feel like there's going to be.
These first lineups, I think you brought up that the only one that you thought could be an upset is Heaven Hill 7 Year versus Kirkland Bottled and Bond.
Yeah.
But
Kirkland Bottled and Bond is pretty much 1792, though.
It's made by 1792. I should have probably adjusted it so they were against each other. But I didn't.
Oh,
that would have been fun. I should have probably done that, but we were going off of price point, not necessarily, I should say MSRP, not off of like how hard they were to find. If that was the case, then E.H. Taylor would have been number one. Because price point for that is going to be higher.
Number one, wasn't it?
No, number one was $18.97 because I think that one comes in at like $55. It's always tricky because
this bracket's interesting. Anyways, so
this was the first upset though because Old Granddad was ranked number five.
But it was four versus five, so it's not like a crazy huge.
It's not a surprising upset. But no, but it is an upset.
It is an upset.
Not quite like March Madness this year. Jesus Christ, that one team that won. Did you see that one white dude?
My buddy at work was asking me if I put in my bracket, and I was like, dude, I'm not paying attention to this stuff. So,
dude, I know we're pretty much out of time here, but I watched the fucking video of the white dude shooter that their team upset the other team. And this dude, he played in two games. He made like 18 three-pointers in the two games. He did not take one two-point shot in both games. Every shot he took was a three-pointer.
So it's going back to how white boys played back in the day then. Only shooters.
Well, I think it's more modern times because if you go back far enough, there's mainly white guys.
And that took the shots, long range shots, right?
Well, the 3-point line didn't come into play until I think like 88. I mean, that was like 36 years ago, but it's so not like.
Think of it that way. But.
Yeah.
No, I was more meaning like you haven't heard too many great dunkers or driving the line that are white.
True. Yes. Generally, white guys are known for being able to shoot or pass.
Right.
You're correct with that. Yeah. And that's, yeah. But dunking wasn't a big thing a long time ago.
I guess that's true too.
So it's kind of a weird argument. Like, yes, they weren't high flyers or like, but basketball wasn't always this high flying, deep three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's if you do look, the white professional basketball players are generally not as flashy, with the exception of like Doncic, Luka.
In terms of present day,
yes, yeah. he's pretty. He's not flashy. He's just, well, he kind of is.
White chocolate,
he's kind of flashy.
Well, but yeah, passer. He's a passer. He did do a lot more layups than he did.
Like, yeah, he didn't dunk
long range.
Yeah, and he wasn't much of a shooter. Yeah, no, the guy made like crazy passes. He was fun to watch. Steve Nash, simple. He could shoot and he passed.
Fundamental. Yeah. He was fundamental.
Jason Kidd, pass first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was
he was
100% white. I don't know. Sure.
I was thinking of his last name, and I was like, yeah, you're right.
I don't know. And it's not, I'm not trying to be like bring in race, but we are talking about white guys not being as good at basketball. We aren't as athletic. It just, I mean, that's as racist as saying the average Asian's not as good of a driver.
But they make great food.
Fantastic food. Love
But
Asian
you're also
food.
Hungry about an hour later.
Oh, see, I run into the opposite problem, because I feel like every time I have Asian food, I overeat it.
I get hungry. I get hungry.
That's like me and soup. I can't eat soup because I get hungry. But you're basically drinking
water
your food.
Weight.
Yeah, it's just like 100%. But, well, Devo, old granddad for the win. You have any final thoughts?
Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it neat, friends.
Woo!